Good morning. Welcome, guys, from colleges. We who know where. Where are y'all from? Different ones? Level Land. You know why they call it that? Because that is what it is. Oh, no wonder. That should help. Let's just see if I can restart it here. Hang on a second. Got my screen up there, Joey? Level Land only. Anybody else from? All right. Sterling. Wow. Looks like I should have taken care of this better, Pastor Greg. I don't know. See if it'll find it. Yeah, I'm having technical. I tell you, it's amazing that we're even such a fog after this week. We've had such a, you know, it's interesting to say that because it was so foggy out there. But, man, this week has been very interesting. I guess we won't have, I'll have slides, but you will not, but you'll live through it. We're in the book of 1 Samuel, and we're going to be in chapter 3 together. We had a great week. Beach Reach was awesome. We had a lot of kids sharing their faith in a lot of occasions, a lot of strong testimony about Christ. Looking forward to a great week for y'all and your. We rarely have a second week here, but we're going to have a second week because many of our state schools and all of Oklahoma don't get off till this week, and this also is a spring break destination for these guys. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we're going to read all the way down through verse 10. It says, now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. Remember, we saw last week, he gets dropped off as a 3 or 4 year old, not at a daycare. He's left there. And he grows up with Eli being basically his parent. And the word of the Lord, it says, was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. I just want you to remember that because I want you to ask that question why. And we're going to continue reading. But as you ask that question, I think our text is going to answer it. It happened at that time that Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not gone out. That is, every evening it would go out. They would start it at 6. It goes out sometime around midnight, more or less. Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. This is where he lived. He lived, if you will, in church. And the Lord, it says, called Samuel and he said, here I am. Of course, he doesn't think it's the Lord. He doesn't know the Lord. And he runs to Eli and says, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call you. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he answered and said, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, for nor had the word of God been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, go lie down. It shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening. And so Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And so we start the young life of Samuel in this particular situation. But back to the question of why was the word of God rare? We're going to see in a little bit the reason why the word of God was rare is because no one was listening. You wonder why God isn't speaking to you? You should ask yourself the question, am I listening to him? It's not a matter of hearing, it's a matter of listening. There are two different things, and we're going to consider that this morning. But I get questioned quite often as a pastor, as a minister, as a believer, how do we hear from God? And I would suggest to you that that is a bad question. And the reason why I would suggest that to you is because of what it says in the Scriptures. It would say it on your screen, but it doesn't. It says it on my screen. John, you can write it down. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 28. Listen, you should be familiar with this chapter, first verse. My sheep, Jesus says, hear my voice. You know, I used to give this elaborate answer when people would ask me, how do I hear from God? Well, you need to do this. You know what? I've quit doing that. Because the Scripture says, you already are. If you're a believer, you already are. Now, you may not be listening to him, but you are hearing from him. I didn't write this, okay? And I know some people say, oh, we weren't taught that way. Well, I don't care how you were taught. I'm telling you, the scripture says, my sheep hear my voice. Jesus speaking. Does Jesus know what he's talking about? I believe that he does. I know them, he says. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hands. Very significant verse. Very important for our understanding of the security of the believer. Once saved, always saved. Why? Because it says we're sheep, first of all. Sheep are the dumbest animals and the weakest animals. And it never says we get over this, by the way, guys. So one of the keys to salvation, one of the first steps to salvation is realizing that I am stupid and that I am weak. And that's when I come and see, so many people love Jesus, but they just want help from Jesus. Jesus, it doesn't say he's a helper. It says he's a savior. Now see, if you're not a sheep, if you're a lion or a bear or a tiger, I guess maybe you need help. But if you're a sheep, you don't need help. You need a savior. So you need to realize the position that we hold. Jesus is savior because we are sheep. We're dumb. We're defenseless. We never get over it. So we are sheep. We are secure. When a sheep makes it from one point to a final destination, you know what it says about the sheep? Nothing. Because they're dumb and defenseless. It says everything about the shepherd, you see. See, that's what you got to understand. Salvation is all about him. It's all about what he's done for us on our behalf. We're secure. Why? Because we're good? No. Because we hold on fast? No. Because he holds on to us. Salvation is all about him. So the first thing that has to happen if we're going to hear from God is we have to be his. You have to be a sheep. You have to belong to him. You have to place your faith in a Savior. You have to come to the conclusion that I'm defenseless and I'm dumb and I absolutely need the Savior. And once that happens, though, the Scripture tells us, you hear his voice. Crystal clear, it says that. You hear his voice. It doesn't say you could hear it or you should hear it or you might hear it. It says you hear it. So let's just settle that, first of all. If you're a child of God, you hear from him. You hear from him. If you know Jesus as Savior, but there's a difference between hearing and listening. Hearing is a given. Listening is a decision that you make. Listening is a product of discipleship, a product of, I want to follow you. I want to be yours. All right? And so if you say, I'm hearing, but I'm not hearing. Well, you're hearing, but you're not listening. FDR, our 32nd president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, was sick of all the White House dinners that they were having to throw in order to meet these different dignitaries during the Second World War. And all these people, in fact, we had dignitaries from some of the countries in Europe that lived in the White House during the Second World War because their countries were overthrown. And he was sick and tired of just the formality of these dinners and constantly saying these cordial things and shaking people's hands. And so he decided he was done with that, and so he was going to have a little bit of fun. He decided that instead of the regular pleasantries of how are you doing, nice to meet you, how's your day, that he would say under his breath, I murdered my grandmother last night. True story. And so as they were passing through the receiving line, and of course he's in a wheelchair, you couldn't see it, but he's sitting behind a table, shaking people's hands, he would say under his breath with a big smile, I murdered my grandmother last night. And 99% of the people, he was convinced that nobody heard him, that people hear but they don't actually listen. And 99% of the people said, oh, that's nice. Are you having a nice day too? Well, it's nice to make your acquaintance, and, you know, all these pleasantries. And so sure enough, one out of all the dignitaries that were there, and there were several hundred, actually heard him, a representative from Bolivia. The man heard him. This guy doesn't even speak English. I mean, I guess he speaks English, but he's not his original language. And he heard FDR say, I murdered my grandmother last night, so he looked at him, and then he said, I'm sure she had it coming, sir. Truth is stranger than fiction. We hear, but we don't listen. We hear, but we don't listen. God gave us two ears and one mouth. Why? So that we would listen twice as much as we speak? I think it's the other way around, because he knew we'd have twice as hard a time of listening. Twice a harder time listening. Hearing is just hearing, but listening is something that you got to want to do. So I think a better question is not how do we hear from God, but how do we listen to God? That's the problem I find in the Scriptures. Every time God speaks, people hear him in the Scriptures. They always do. God knows exactly how to communicate to us. No problem. But the problem in Scriptures is, are we listening to him? Do we listen? How do we know when we're listening to God? Well, I'm going to give you several things here. How do we listen to Him? First of all, number one, you've got to want to. I mean, it sounds all cool, you know, sounds awesome. Oh, I hear from God. Let me just say something to you. I never find a single person in the Scriptures that is all excited about actually hearing God's voice, especially audibly. Never. Every one of them hated it. Never wanted it to happen again. Scared them absolutely to death. And so you're into this whole romantic thing of, I hope I can be able to one day audibly hear the voice of God. Let me just say this to you. I don't think you want that. I don't think you want to be in a situation where God has to be that clear to you. I just don't think you do. Number one, I think it's going to be bad. Either you or the circumstances you're in are going to be bad. Number two, you're going to be scared to death. I read in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, as God gives the Ten Commandments to them, the people of Israel come to Moses and they say, don't let God speak to us ever again, lest we die. They were about to fall over dead. They were scared so bad. So, first of all, there's nothing romantic about hearing the voice of God, whether it's audibly or otherwise. The most important thing is you need to understand, is, and the reason why I ask the question, do you want to, is because when you hear from Him, you're immediately under obligation. Better to have not heard and just keep on doing your stupid stuff than have heard and then keep on doing your stupid stuff. You follow me? You got to want to hear from Him. You got to want to hear what He says. That's very important. God comes to Samuel as a boy because He was looking for someone to listen, who would listen to Him. Why would He speak to a boy when He's got grown men living in the temple? Eli and his two sons. Because Eli and his two sons weren't listening. We're going to read that in just a second. In fact, maybe we should just do that. Look at verse, here in chapter 3, look at verse 12. In that day, God is speaking to this boy, best I can tell, kid, 7, 8, 10 years old, Samuel. In that day, He says to Samuel, I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from the beginning to end, for I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves and he did not rebuke them. Therefore, I have sworn in the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. Don't you think he wanted to say that to Eli? He had. So why is he now saying it to Samuel? Because Eli's not listening. He's not listening. God is in a personal relationship with you. And I believe He gathers us together in a church situation because He wants to speak to us collectively. I believe that He used me. I've seen Him use me. I'm amazed at that. Why would He even use a person like me? But I know because it has nothing to do with me or nothing to do with us. It's just a function of the body of Christ. Function of the Holy Spirit that He calls us together to do these things. But let me just say this to you. If all you ever hear from God is what happens in church, you have a problem. God wants to be in a personal relationship. He is, I hope, in a personal relationship with you in which He speaks to you personally. Where, yes, you hear from Him in church. Yes, you need to go to church. But that's not it. You're hearing much more from Him. You have to want to do it. He comes and speaks to Samuel because Eli wasn't listening. Samuel was a listener. And let me just say this to you. How do you know when you're listening? When you do what He says. Not rocket science. Real simple. So I say that I'm listening, but I'm not doing what He says. Who are you lying to? Certainly not to God, or not effectively. Definitely to yourself. Number one, number two, which is directly related. How do I hear from God? How do I listen to God? Got to want it bad enough to change. Got to want to hear it bad enough to change. Why does He go to Samuel instead of Eli? Because Eli is unwilling to change. His sons are horrible. He leaves them in the priesthood. He doesn't get rid of them. He should have done that, but he doesn't do it. He quits listening to God. He chooses his sons over God. God wanted to go to Eli, but He couldn't. See, the question, God is looking for people who will listen to Him. So are you willing to listen? Very important question. Number three. In order to hear from God, in order to listen to God, we must make listening a priority over everything else. We must make listening to God a priority over everything else. There was a man who was traveling through a city and noticed the church, the doors were open. He decided he had some questions and some needs, and he wanted just to go inside the church and pray. He thought he could get some solitude there. And he goes in, no one's in the church, and he goes in, sits in a pew, and he begins to pray. Well, he's praying silently to himself, and lo and behold, he's not the only person in the church, because somewhere up front, he can't see the guy. This guy's praying, crying out to God, God, help us. We need to pay our debts of $100, and he's just going on and on. Well, he says, well, you know, the guy's got a right to pray, but he's sitting over there in his pew just trying to pray, and he can't concentrate because the dude is just yelling at the top of his lungs. So finally, incensed, he gets up from his place with $100 in his hands and goes and hands it to him. And the guy, of course, is overjoyed, you know, and runs out of the church. You know, his prayers have been answered. He goes back and sits in his pew and he says, now, Lord, that I have your undivided attention. Then he proceeds. See, it's not the Lord's attention that's divided. Have you ever noticed that personal relationship is like you're the only one on the planet? Isn't that interesting how God is all over the place, all present at all times, that you can have a personal relationship with him? It's like you're the only one. He's not distracted. We're distracted. We are. You can turn with me, if you'd like, to Luke chapter 10, verse 39, but I'm not going to wait on you because I'm going to tell you the story. It's a story of excellent story of listening and hearing from God and being distracted. Story of Mary and Martha. Martha, who has a sister named Mary, it says, sat at the Lord's feet. Mary, it says, was listening to what Jesus had to say. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, and she came to him, Jesus, and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work of myself? You're familiar with this story, right? Tell her to help me, she says. Jesus, Martha, Martha, he says, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Interesting story. It says a whole lot about listening. So Mary is being unproductive. She's just sitting at the Savior's feet. Martha is being, in our classification of things, productive. She's serving the Lord, which we consider to be more important, don't we? Naturally, we do. Do something, right? Do something, but after you've listened to him. So Martha was working for him. Mary was listening to him. Jesus said, which one was better? Listening. Interesting. Martha was distracted by doing something, let me just say this, that she had not been necessarily told to do. Nothing wrong with fixing a meal, is there? I mean, they did have to eat. But this wasn't Jesus' agenda, was it? Where was Jesus' agenda? Well, the only way she's going to get it is to be at his feet. That's where her sister was. But she had her own good, personal good, but it was a personal agenda that she was running there. See, when we run our personal agendas, as opposed to listening to the agenda of the Lord, here's how it works. Now, see if you recognize this. We do exactly what Martha did. We don't listen to him. And when we do speak to him, we tell him what to do. Recognize that? I don't listen to him, but when I do spend time with him, I tell him what to do. Is there anything wrong with that? There's something massively wrong with that, is there not? He's the Lord. He's the Savior. He tells me what to do, not vice versa. I mean, there's nothing wrong with making a request of the Lord, but let me just say this to you. Better him making requests of you, is there not? You know, someone made this point. I saw it this week, and it just interesting how it coincided with this sermon of hearing from God. They made this statement. They said the word listening and the word silent are spelled with the same letters. Think about that. The word listening and the word silent are spelled as just pure coincidence. Yes, it is. But it's an interesting coincidence, isn't it? How often are you just simply silent before God? I'm not talking about blanking out your mind or anything like that. You don't have to do that. He can override whatever he wants. But you just simply go in and say, Lord, here I am. I just want to worship you. I just want to be in your presence. Nothing wrong with making requests, Lord, but I'm not about coming here and telling you what to do. When was the last time? Mary sat and listened for his agenda. And Jesus said, she chose what was better. And then a final thing, number four. In order to listen to God, did you hear me? In order to listen to God, hey, Henry, why not, Henry? Well, you're half deaf, I know. You shot too many guns. You're like me. But also because I shut this crazy thing off, isn't it? In order to hear from God, in order to listen to God, you have to be near him. says in, and you can look over there, says in chapter 2 of Samuel, verse 21, says this, and the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to other children. It says, but the boy Samuel grew up before the Lord, literally in the presence of the Lord. You say, well, of course he did. He lived in the tabernacle. I mean, if I lived in the tabernacle, I would be close to God too. Let me just say this to you. So did Hophni and Phinehas and Eli, their dad. They all lived in the tabernacle, but those dudes weren't listening to him. So it's not a function of distance, like I just turned my mic off. It's a function of heart. Samuel listened from here. It didn't matter where he was. It's convenient that he was in the tabernacle, but it didn't matter. Does it matter? I mean, God's everywhere, is he not? It's a function of being with him here. In here. I want you to repeat this after me, and you've got to say it the way I say it. You can't hear him if you ain't near him. One more time. You can't hear him if you ain't near him. I'm sorry, I got to say it the way because it just makes better sense the way I say it. Isn't it? I mean, like I said, it's not rocket science. You have to be near him to hear from him. Near him in heart. You got to want to be there. You got to want to hear his voice. You got to want to change because when he says stuff to you, half of it you're not going to like. Maybe more than half. Half of it's going to go in a direction that you didn't plan on going because it's not your agenda. You're going to learn to like it. You will learn to love it. You will learn that it's the best thing. You don't care what he says anymore. When you get to that place, it's so good. But you're going to have to struggle through maybe years of, well, I don't like this. Here we go. But you're going to realize that when you do what the Lord wants you to do, you'll really like it. Samuel was near in spirit. And I guess the question is, are we? Let me ask you something, just simple questions. Do you pray every day? Several times a day? And if not, why not? If not, why not? We claim we want to hear him, but we're not hearing. Do you read the Bible every day? Mull it over, meditate, as they say, on it. And the things that it could teach you, asking God questions in your heart, do you? If not, why not? Why not? I mean, that's a question you really need to answer. Are you involved in some other type of Bible study other than what we do in here? Small group of some kind. Maybe it's just you and your wife. Maybe it's just you and your husband. Maybe it's you and a couple of friends. Maybe it's a bigger group. Maybe it's Sunday school. Are you involved some other place than here and your personal time in Bible study? Because listen, the body of Christ has to function. And the way that we function is by gathering together more than this room. You've got one gift going on up here. Maybe half a gift. That's not the body. The body is multiple gifts, multiple different uses, and those groups have to come together on smaller levels in order to be able to minister, the Holy Spirit ministering through each of us into each other's lives. So if we're not involved in small groups, why not? Why aren't we? Are you faithful? Here I'm, you know, of course, preaching to the choir. Faithful to attend the gathering of God's people. Faithful to attend. I'm very grateful to be raised in a home that when the doors were open in the church, we were there. I don't care what it was. Business meetings. Ridiculous stuff when I was a kid. Missionary meetings. Sunday school. Evening worship. Prayer meetings. Sing songs, we call them. Fifth Sunday singings. I know that y'all aren't from East Texas. Every time the doors were open, we were there. A third of the time, my brother and I didn't want to be there. But let me tell you something. I'm very grateful because God, in those times, began to speak to the both of us, calling us into ministry, calling us into service. He used this church. He used these occasions. Well, I want to go when God is speaking. Well, then you need to be there every time it's open because you never know when it's going to hit you. You never know. You need to be faithful. And if you're not, why not? Like I said, we claim that we want to hear from him, but we're not near him. That doesn't make sense. So we got to be sheep, first of all. We got to want to hear him, listen to him. We've got to have him as listening to him as priority in our lives, and we've got to be near him. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you do speak. It's not a matter of whether we hear. It's a matter of whether we're listening. Lord, I thank you that you are the good shepherd, that you don't fail. I thank you that this sheep, Lord, is going to make it, not because I have anything to offer, but because you are a wonderful Savior. Thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for speaking to me. Help me, God. Help me to listen to you. Help us, God, to listen. Oh, what you could do through a group of people who will simply listen to what you say and do what you say. Help us to be those people, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.